we are also encouraged to be sober-minded.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And not be given to drunk, you mm-hmm. know. And of course, drunk is alcohol, but mm-hmm. I mean, the principle is the same yeah. also for other drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus said, come to me if you are weary and burdened, mm-hmm. and I will, exactly. you know, give you new strength. Mm-hmm. So Amen. Jesus wants to be that thing for mm-hmm. us that other people try to find in drugs.
Yeah.
And so actually drugs become a replacement for the place that God, Jesus, was supposed to take in their lives.
Ladies and gents, welcome to Voices of Life, the podcast with topics related to the apostolic faith in the 21st century. Let's talk about what interests you here on Voices of Life.
Welcome back to Voices of Life. Today, it's just three of us sitting together here.
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello.
Oh, so we hear one voice is missing, and that's our dear pastor.
The pillar
yeah.
when, of this podcast.
In case you're listening to this, pastor, we greet you.
We miss you.
In case you listen to this.
Of course he's listening.
I'm afraid he will, yeah.
He has to. He needs to check us if we're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yes. yeah. See that we're not spreading misinformation.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're here and we're going to talk about ethics, okay? Ethics, if you also think that's quite a strange word, not so commonly used every day, it's just about what is right and what is wrong, you know? What is morally right and what is morally bad, like good and bad, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's a topic that we want to talk about, but we call it biblical ethics because our ethics, they don't just come from anywhere. They should come from the Bible. And to start off, I have a question for you guys. What is the difference between someone of us, meaning a Christian, making a decision whether something is good or bad, or right or wrong, and someone else in the world who doesn't believe in God or is not living at least with God and not believing his word, not reading his word? What's the difference?
I would like to start with a story about that. I know someone and we talked about it and he asked me an interesting question. He said, hey, Stephen, what do you say is evil? And for me, that was a fairly easy answer. While for him, he had a long definition and tried to somehow work it out and put it all together in some way. Where for me, I said, well, you know, no human can define good or evil because no human is omniscient. So nobody knows everything. I can see the motives and the hearts of people and what their future will be, what their past was, why they did what they did. And for me personally, of course, it will be not an objective view, but always subjective because I have my own opinion about what is good and evil. I have my own definition because I am not an anchor of morally correct behavior. I am not the perfect example of everything that is right. For example, Justin would say, Stephen, that what you did there was wrong. When I say, well, I think it was right. And I mean, we have different examples all over history. I think one of the most prominent examples is Hitler.
Wow.
I just drop it right away in the beginning.
Lord.
For him personally, his agenda to kill the Jews and to clean the German race and all that stuff, for him, it was good. He didn't think it was evil, and many other people around him didn't think it was evil. Yeah. But when we look at it today, any human, I think any human who would say of himself, okay, I'm a good person in some kind of way, would say, hey, what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
So even in this case now, it spreads already, okay, this is good or this is evil.
Yeah.
And so that's why, as people, we cannot have a personal standard or a personal moral code because it will always be subjective to our experiences, to our thoughts, to our feelings. Are we affected by it? Are we not affected by it? And that's where our opinion comes from. So I told him, hey, my only standard can be God and his opinion, his word. That's the standard of all things from which I can then define, okay, what can be good or evil.
Was Hitler your example also with the conversation with your friend or colleague?
I put that in, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's deep. Okay, sorry. I was just, yeah.
Yeah, but it goes as far as that because most of the people that don't believe in God now, for example, you would call them being nihilistic. So what that means is they believe that everything will be nothing eventually. You know, like most of them are strongly scientific. They only believe the science. and don't recognize that science is not the tool to get to know God.
Yeah.
It's the tool to get to know his creation.
Huh.
Yeah, that's deep. Really, because they try to trust the science and don't realize that things like morals and belief and meaning and answers to the why cannot be found with science. Science can tell you what and how,
yes,
but it cannot tell you why.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so because they believe only in science, they also believe one day the universe will be, you know, die. It will die out. One day the sun will swallow up the earth because it will just expand. You know, like life will be extinguished anyways one day. So that's what it's like being a nihilist. And when you die, then it's also just nothing, you know?
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, but if everything is nothing, then how can you say that anything would be bad, you know? Yeah. Like talking about Hitler. That's true. Where I said, like, it gets as extreme as that because, like, What does it make it bad if you kill someone, apart from just maybe your personal feeling that tells you, well, that's bad. Well, but what about the psychopath that thinks it's great? You know, like if it's just the feeling.
Yeah, you're right.
If it's just the feeling, then it fades away. And that's why his colleague was struggling to think, well, what is bad? Like, how can I figure it out?
Yeah.
Because the real source of good and evil, like the definition of it, is only God himself.
Yeah.
Because he's good, and what is not in him, outside of him, that is what is bad.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we got to get close to God and close to him if we want to answer questions about good and evil. Yeah, at least with a justification behind it. Like, of course, people in the world, they can still think about it. You know, what do I think now is good, what is bad? But it's not like in that way justified and complete like when you do it as a Christian.
You can think of it a little bit like a compass. A compass. I'm sorry.
A compass.
A compass? Wow. Man. That was sad.
I was like,
you. No, he didn't. You just enjoyed the first sound effect of our podcast.
The first time.
So a compass.
Yeah.
And it always points north. So it gives you a direction, a clear direction wherever you stand. It always points north. So it shows you, hey, this is where it is. This is where it's right, if we want to take that example now. And that's how God is. He's like our North Pole, where he gives us the clear direction. Hey, this is what's right. And all the other paths lead you different ways, lead you down different road than what is right in my sight, in God's eyes. I think that maybe helps to grasp that a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. But just to think of it, so it's always points north, you said, right? Wherever you go. So even if you get lost somehow, some type of way, you still can find yourself to the north side. Wow. So wow, I just thought about that. I'm sorry. So even the Lord, even though you maybe go through a path where you shouldn't go or walk to a side you shouldn't walk on, you always can find, if you're truly looking for him, you always can find the Lord in everywhere you go. So, man, that's awesome. Yeah. Good thought, Stephen. Good thought.
Yeah, right. Actually, because if Jesus says, if you search him, you will find him.
Yeah.
Then that means that there is there is some kind of compass that will lead you to him if you're gonna search him. Yeah.
Man, see, that was a good example, man. That was a good example. Yeah.
That means also if you seek to discern between good and right, if you seek to find, you know, what are you looking for?
Good and right.
Now I got that one as well.
Good and right.
Justin is left.
Yeah. You're good.
Oh, it happened to me already in German when I was talking about it.
We're not perfect.
No, we're not. Only God is.
Amen. Amen.
So what was I even talking about is the question now after all these sound effects.
You lost yourself.
I lost myself.
Okay. Well, look to the Lord and you will always find him. So.
Yeah, that's right.
The compass always shows to north. I'm trying to help you here. Don't look at me.
We just.
It's okay if you forgot it.
I literally forgot it.
Okay.
Yeah. We can.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. Give us an example. You want to give us an example?
Yes, I want to give you an example of where just a situation where we have to decide: is it something bad or is it something good? And I'm just going to pick the same example like another time. Drugs, consuming drugs. Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? And it's an interesting question because the Bible doesn't say anywhere drugs are bad or drugs are good. Mm. But we believe we can still answer with the help of the Bible and the Holy Ghost. We will still talk about that. We can.
Man, he's just taking off.
I'm so sorry. No, but with those things, we believe that we can still answer that question.
Yeah.
So how? Like, what is the answer about drugs?
So I would start with, is it okay if I answer? Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I think drugs can always lead you to addiction. So whatever can draw you to addiction, if it's drugs, alcohol, or other stuff, sports maybe, or other things, it's always bad because the focus is on the thing that always keeps you or takes you away from God. So also, even if you're on your day-to-day life and you're like, okay, well, my day was so hard, I need to smoke. My day was so hard, I need to go to do sports and stuff like that. So every point that draws you to addiction is a bad thing. But we're going to stay into drugs. Drugs in general just can just damage your body in general. And I have a verse right here. This is the first time I have a verse in this podcast. Mm. I'm so proud of myself. And it's in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. So I have it in the King James version. I hope that's okay. So what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So what it's saying is, as soon as we receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord is living in us. And so why do we want to damage that house or that temple where the Lord is in? Mm-hmm. So that's why I would say in general, it's a no for me. If we're talking about drugs, because like I said, it just messes you up and it draws you to a point where you just have to where you can't live without it. So those are actually two points to say drugs are no good as a Christian.
Yeah. We are also encouraged to be sober minded.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
And not be given to drunk, you know, and of course, drunk is alcohol, but I mean, the principle is the same also for other drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus said, come to me if you are weary and burdened, and I will, you know, give you new strength.
Mm-hmm.
So Amen. Jesus wants to be that thing for us that other people try to find in drugs.
Yeah.
And so actually drugs become a replacement for the place that God, Jesus, was supposed to take in their lives.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we see that things are not always literally written in the Bible.
Mm.
It's not don't take drugs, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a way how the law was built up in the Old Testament that God gave to Moses and then to the people of Israel. Said, hey, don't eat this, don't do this, do it like that, hold this holiday, keep this, keep that, keep everything. And we know that this all was just a shadow of the things that were to come.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus put it like that in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where he preaches to masses of people, and it's his longest preaching that is recorded in one go in the Bible. And it says in verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Amen.
For wow, I'm sorry.
Push the push.
Wow. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled.
Amen.
So Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the law in itself was not bad.
Mm-hmm.
The laws, God said, hey, these laws are good to keep and they're a shadow of those things that are to come, but they never saved people.
Mm-hmm.
They never got people in a relationship with him, but just rule keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I keep this, I don't do this, so I'm somehow not on bad terms with God.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, hey, I came to fulfill this, I came to give you something better. Like it is written where it says, he writes those laws on our hearts now, because it's a relationship we have with him, because we love him, we want to do what's right in his eyes as the moral compass that we have then.
And that's so important to understand for us Christians who are walking with God, or want to walk with God, is that those rules, you could say, only work for you if you really have a relationship, a deep relationship with the Lord, and also if you read his word. So that's why it's easier, almost easier to fall on those commandments, because if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, then having a relationship with the Lord and tripping, you could say, like, for instance, a marriage. I want to stay faithful to my wife, not because it's a law that I could break, because it's a relationship that I have with my wife. I love my wife. I want to stay faithful to her because I enjoy my time with her and I enjoy the life that we have together. And that I think that should be the same thing. And that's why, yeah, that's why I stay faithful to her. And that should be the same thing with us, with the Lord, that we stay with, we want to stay with the Lord. We enjoy the time with him. We enjoy everything that he does for us and we enjoy the work that we are doing for him. And so that's how we stay away from the black side, you could say, in this moral situation. You could say, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's so important to really have a good relationship with the Lord and also to read his word.
And he just goes on and says in verse 20, he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So what were the scribes and Pharisees? They tried to be perfect law keepers. Yeah. They even put more pressure on the law and more things on the law. And he goes on about that, but he always calls them out for, "Hey, you're keeping the law with your mouth.
Yeah.
On the outward, you look great. You wear the right things. You say the right things. You do the right things. Mm-hmm. But inside of your heart, you are like graves, dead bones and just dead inside because you don't have that relationship with me." And so Jesus goes on and says, "Hey, you can't just keep the law, so to say, and don't do anything more." For example, in verse 27, he says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." So for the people in the Old Testament, it was okay, don't sleep with another woman, or man, in that case, outside of marriage.
Yeah.
But he says and goes on, "Hey, but I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart."
Yeah.
So he goes on, says, "Hey, it's not just about the act in itself, but the sin that goes before it, the thoughts that you have to keep in check." Yeah. So this is where morality starts with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not in the act itself. Once you slip with that woman, then it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah,
then it's all of a sudden sin and you have to repent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the thought already, the thought process. You see somebody walking by, fantasizing about her. That's where it starts already. Hey, this is where you have to cut it.
Yeah, yeah.
That it doesn't grow into more.
And that's why, again, if we take a principle here, which is it starts on the inside, that's why it's one reason why it's bad to listen to worldly music, because it might make you be rebellious on the inside, or it might make you lust on the inside, or it might make you feel proudful, or, you know, just superior and like independent from God. On the inside, like there are many things that worldly music and the influence behind it can do to you when you listen to it. And because we know that it's not just about what happens on the outside, but what is inside of you, that God takes care about that, what's inside of you. That's why we keep ourselves from, for example, worldly music, among other reasons. Yeah. I mean, obviously they sing and glorify
the wrong things
where we are again, you know, about the talk, what is good, what is wrong.
And back to the thing that I said, to addiction, it could also, because I realized today, I had a discussion with a colleague of mine about music, and I realized how music can really influence people, or influence masses of people. Like really, like, oh, he's the greatest, she's the greatest, and she has a better voice, and she has a better message behind whatsoever. And that's why it's really, really important to really cut, like you said, music. And also, not just because of those ideas, but those influences can draw you away from God as well. So that's why, back to the what I said with drugs and addiction, it also can be music, because that is a point, like you just said, pride, lust, whatever, can draw you to things that are not good for in front of God. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I think they are like key things that are just bad, okay, and that can help us to know whether something is right or wrong. And I think very much of the list of in Galatians where he says, like, evident are the works of the flesh, where he just, I will find it in some moments maybe and read it to us and then continue the thought. And Stephen can take over because he just raised a hand to show that he has something to say.
I think like you, where you're going now, it says that we have three teachers in our lives. One is the word of God. And most of the time it's literal and it helps us to to have a direction to know, okay, this is right, this is wrong, this is what God wants because it's his word that he speaks to us today in written form. Mm-hmm. Then secondly, he speaks through the preacher, through the pastor in your life, to the man of God. He puts things on his heart for the respective church, for the people that are in this church. Mm-hmm. So there might be things that you do different in your church than we do here or that are done somewhere else. But that's not what it is about. Okay, what are they doing? What are they? Why are we not doing? Why are we not allowed to do that? Mm-hmm. But it's the conviction of the pastor from God for the people in this church because God knows what is good for this church and what is not good for this church, what should happen and what should not happen.
Amen. Yep.
So the third teacher we have is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God inside of us, which will lead us into all truth. Mm-hmm. There's personal conviction that people build up over time that might not count for other people. For example, you have a person who was so addicted to gaming. He played all kinds of video games all through the night, wasted a lot of time with that. And so he says for himself, and God convicts him and says, hey, don't touch a video game. Even if it's Mario or something that is harmless in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong to do, for example.
Yeah.
And others say, hey, well, let's just play a game. Come on, just one round. You're like, no. For me personally, God convicted me that I shouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that nobody else should play video games and it's a sin to play video games. But for this person, it would be a sin because for him, God told him, hey, don't touch that. Yeah. Don't do that anymore. So that's the personal conviction that people can have.
Yeah, God takes us out of things. And whenever someone is taken out of something, then it shows also on the outside and on the behavior. Like if he's really taken out of it, you know, if you've been a hippie, and you've been like wearing the clothes and wearing your beard and long hair, whatever, as a man, and then you come to God and you really been changed, and he's like taking you out of all this lifestyle with the drugs we've been talking about and other things, you know, wrong mindset, and you find his truth, then of course you're also gonna see it on the outside happening. That's the thought, you know, like what happens on the inside shows also on the outside in your behavior. Otherwise, it didn't really happen there. And what is happening on the inside is the work of the Holy Spirit, was what Stephen was talking about. And it's not that, you know, we have that set of rules, well, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but we have the conviction of God, of the Holy Ghost in us that shows us, hey, this was wrong.
Yeah.
Like it, and it drags us to do the good things, to fulfill his will. And so I want to read now in Galatians what I found in the meantime. And there it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. I don't know if you pronounce it like that, but it means like partying and, you know, like sensual stuff.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's, you know, I think it's so powerful and wonderful, those, because it's really displaying God's actual plan that he had for us. Because his actual plan was not that we just stiffly stick to rules.
Yep. That's right.
But that we become like him,
yeah,
that we feel like he feels about things. So also, like, if you fight with a sin or an addiction, like, for example, lust, it shouldn't be just that you stop doing it, but it should be that you start seeing it like God sees it, which is something evil, destructing, and rebellious. You know, like, and also even disgusting. Like, God, if you have that perspective on the thing like God has it, then you actually like fulfill what God wanted, you know, because he wants to change our hearts so that we are like he is.
That's right. And
that's the difference. And it's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And then he also says, you know, like, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will bring forth all those fruits, mm-hmm. or the fruit, like the good thing. yeah, I already saw the comments. It's just one fruit of the Spirit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but those things, they will also come forth. And mm-hmm. again, not because it says you have to do this, you have mm-hmm. to do that, you have to visit the sick person in the hospital, you know, yeah. like that's rule number 137, like Germans would love it, of course. I mean, I don't want to get distracted, but it's a different topic. I mean, rules are not always bad, not always good, okay?
Very good point.
So deep. Well... But this is the thing, like, it's going to come also, and it's not going to contradict the law, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's what Stephen said, because it was there, and it did serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And it was right,
yeah.
but it was just not possible for people to keep up with it, because they didn't have that change on the inside that mm-hmm. we can have when we mm-hmm. receive the Holy Spirit, and when we get His Word inside of us,
mm-hmm.
and when we really get transformed, like, we are baptized in Jesus' name under the water.
Amen.
Mm. And it says the old has passed.
Yes.
Amen. And obviously you got to believe it. It's not going to help you if you just get baptized and are like, but I don't know. Did it really change mm-hmm. anything? Is it really important? Does it really do anything in my life?
Yeah.
No, like you got to do it and do it with faith and realize yeah. if you've been baptized, if you have received Amen. The Holy Spirit, then you are born again by water and by Spirit. And then mm. you are a new creature.
Yes.
And the limits that you had in your old life, you don't have them anymore.
Yep.
Because now God is, you know, is changing you mm-hmm. and He's defining who you are.
Yeah.
And you can be who you are to be
yeah.
by His power.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You don't only have the faith that He changed you. You also need to want it. That
yeah.
You
yeah.
have to have an open heart to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because if you don't have an open heart to it, the Lord, He's a gentleman. He won't do it. Yeah.
You're going to resist.
Exactly. If you resist and just do whatever you think is right and what we're talking about, you know, doing your own moral codes, I would say, or have your own compasses where you just say, oh, I like the east side more than the north side, then the Lord cannot and will not change you. So, yeah. So you also have to really want it and really seek it. Yeah.
And I just wanted to add something to the second teacher following your pastor. Mm. Of course, that pastor needs to be following Christ. So it's like yeah. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So when he goes offline and just does whatever he wants and maybe is oppressive and stuff like that, you don't have to follow and submit under such authority.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's very important as well, because even pastors, I know it's crazy, but they're humans too, and they can fall to certain things, to pride, to all this authority that they have and that God gives them, and this anointing that God gives them, it can lead to prideful behavior and like, okay, I'm the boss now. So that can happen. Of course, yeah. pastors, God takes care of the pastors. He's working with them. He's moving in them. He's taking care of that. But like I said, you don't have to submit under such authority if it's just abusive behavior in any kind of way. So don't be a blind sheep and just mm-hmm. accept anything he says. But mm-hmm. our pastor, I like how he most of the time says, hey, check in the word of God yeah, yeah. if it is, yeah. like I say.
Yeah.
Check it. It's all yeah. right with me.
Yeah.
Check it and yeah. then even come to him yeah. and say, hey, that somehow wasn't really okay and that wasn't yeah. really right. Yeah. And I think that that helps us and saves us and protects yeah. us as well
yeah.
from, okay, false teaching in any yeah. kind of way.
Yeah.
And what he also said, what is a key element and is practiced like that among like the churches we have connections with, is a pastor shouldn't be just on his own, you know, unsupervised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if he's not humble enough to have another independent man of God above him, one that is also able, you know, to like come yeah. and actually correct him or say, hey, you're messing up, you know, or actually like yeah. have a say in the life yeah, of the pastor.
There's something wrong there, yeah.
Then something is, yeah, yeah. it's not how it should mm-hmm. be, because then right. it can get dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's an important key part in this.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was just thinking about, because she said, our pastor always mentioned if he, like, we should check it on our own. But I always think of Bishop when he teaches and then he always says, you don't believe me? Then read the Bible yourself. It's so funny. And it's like, but there's so much, yeah, that is just really the truth that you're saying. Like, that is so much earnesty behind it. Don't walk blindly after some person, you could say. Of course, our pastor, he was anointed by God, but he's still, like you said, a human being who also can fall, who also can trip. And so just don't follow blindly. Always read your word as well. That's very important, yeah.
If you follow blindly, then probably you also have a picture in your head that person is perfect, you know, and then you're gonna find out that said, he's still a human being, and he's allowed to do mistakes,
exactly,
you know, even if they maybe hurt your feelings. It's okay, and you also have to forgive him, even though he's a pastor.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
That's a very important element, and like following your pastor and being patient in a way that sounds... but, you know, like, just understanding that he's been put there by God and he's there for you and for you to submit as long as everything is right, like Stephen said, of course. Yeah. And then if you do that, it will bless your life.
Exactly.
Because God sees it and it's his principle. And and so if you honor it, he will honor you for doing that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I
wanted to move on. So if you wanted to add something.
I just wanted to say, if you really honor your pastor, you also have to pray for your pastor. Mm-hmm. Because like we just said, he's just a human like everyone else. But he's anointed by God. And because he's anointed by God, the devil and all the enemies are all over him for different reasons. We don't even know. But and so if you really honor your pastor, really pray for him each and every day, or the chance you get, pray for him, pray over his family and the people around him, because that's also a safety net for you if you really want to follow God. Mm. It's not only for him a safety net, it's also for your salvation and his salvation a safety net. So
that's right. That was deep.
Sorry, I just had to mention that.
That was very good. And a bit earlier you were, I think, mentioning also about knowing the word and reading the word is what you have to do for that.
So
that's just the last thing that I want to really emphasize. Like, you have to get into the word and get a solid base in it. You have to, because that's how you're going to get to know God, because he reveals himself in there. He reveals principles. Like, if you read the stories in the Old Testament, you can find out what is important to him. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see very clearly that he is not tolerant towards bad things. So in your life, you should not tolerate bad things, you know? You shouldn't just be satisfied with, well, I'm leaving a little bit of sin in my life, you know?
Yeah.
Or a little bit of world I leave because I enjoy it so much. No, it's not going to work. Like, you got to go all in.
Yeah.
And if you read his word, then you're going to get to know him. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to get to know his love, especially if you're going to read in the New Testament, because that's where you see how he came down in his only son.
Yeah.
And he made a way for you.
Amen.
So that you can have life and life everlasting.
Yeah.
And really, you have to get in there.
Yeah.
We cannot stress it enough.
Well,
because otherwise, when the storm will come, I don't know if Stephen said that already, but when the storm will come, then the foundation will just blow off the sand, you know, and the house will fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in combination with the Spirit of God, of course, because the Spirit of God is going to help you to understand what you're reading.
Yeah.
You know,
understand what you're actually doing, why you are doing the different things. Why are you dressing yourself this way? Why you not go to different places? Why you don't listen to worldly music? Those are all things, if you read his word and get to know him, those are all things where you can also really talk about. If people ask you, why do you do different things? Why do you don't do this? Why you don't do that? I mean, it's not a good answer if you just stand there and be like, well, I do that because the church says we shouldn't do it. Well, okay, thanks for the conversation. See you later, alligator.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to have, like you say, a base or a foundation. And with that foundation, you can also be a testimony to others who are actually looking for the Lord.
Yes, yes. If you are close to God, he can show you things and he can tell you things.
Yeah.
And if you're close to God and you read his word, then you will actually like get it right also. Mm-hmm. Because if you do it by your own mind and intellect, then it will not be as good for sure. And you will have things that you just misunderstand and everything. That's why if he's the teacher who's teaching you and leading you in all truth, then it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the right principles that will help you to make the right decisions in your life about, is it a good decision or is it a bad one if I act like this?
Mm-hmm. And that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It is important also then, if you have those principles, to stay true to them and stick to them even if no one watches you. Like, don't, because otherwise you're again like the Pharisees that do it for the people. Even with the principles, you know, like, you have to stick to them in, like, in front of God. Like, you try to please him, not humans. That's just one last thought that I wanted to say. So, does anyone of you want to add something, or do we round this up, or how you say? Yeah? Okay, so get in the Bible and get close to God.
Amen.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, pray for the Holy Ghost, because he's the teacher that we need. And if you're going to receive him, it's going to be like on Pentecost. You're going to speak in new tongues. All three of us here have witnessed it and can tell you there's nothing like it.
My wedding experience, definitely. Yeah.
It's such a privilege. Yeah. And I think especially among our circles, among our people, we take it to granted sometimes. Like, it's something so special. Like, and it's the promise that, you know, was the big promise in the Old Testament. You know, people could not imagine that, you know, the Spirit of God poured out on all flesh, you know, like, not looking, are you special, are you good, are you young, are you old, are you man, are you woman, what country? It's for everyone, so it's for you.
Amen.
And so reach out for it, pray for it, and follow your teachers that are in God.
Amen.
And then tune in next time.
Yeah. And also, another thing, I'm sorry, give us comments down below. We need some comments, we need some feedback, we need some examples, some questions. Just give us comments. We want to do this. We were doing this podcast actually for you. I know it's not many English listeners, so, but still, we're doing this for you. Just leave a comment, leave a like, give us feedback, show us what you need, what you want, and we want to give you that, what we can give you.
If you're listening, just write a comment.
Yeah.
Even if it's, I am listening.
Yeah.
That just motivates and keeps us, hey, okay, the English episodes, they are doing and having an impact. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
A high isn't, man. If I see a high down there, I'd be like, wow, awesome. But definitely.
Maybe you'll get a chocolate from Justin when he sees you in person.
If I know you, Or if I get to know you, definitely.
All right.
Get something for me,
For sure, you make him happy. And all of us.
Of course.
Okay.
Hopefully.
So, we look forward to having you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Until next time.
Bye.